We want to thank Best Friends. They have given us a great weekend, starting Friday night with a fantastic concert, and all day yesterday and this morning. We've worked these kids, so thank you very much for being here. We also want to thank Deona for a great youth rally yesterday and for all the people that she lined up, from those who cooked and served and cleaned up and those who taught. And we'll talk more about that next week, because I'd much rather hear these guys sing than hear you me talk. That's good grammar. So thank you very much for all who were involved. I am always on the lookout for a shortcut, because time matters. And so I figure if I can get from point A to point B 30 seconds faster, then I got 30 more seconds to do something else with. And if you've ever ridden in my car, you know that I'm trying to save every second I can possibly save to use it for God's purpose. I've told every policeman that, and they still write me a ticket. We were on our way to Hobbs a few weeks ago for a preacher's meeting, and Mike Joy had told us about the back road from here to Hobbs, and I thought, well, Mike, tell me, let's take that back road. That's bound to be faster. The back road took us 18 and a half minutes longer, and so the shortcut was not worth it. And let's be honest, a church van does not handle Maljamar very well. There are people who took shortcuts all over the Bible. It never ended well. You could go through a list of names like Samson and David and many other characters. You could go into the history books and talk about Richard Nixon and Pete Rose. And my guess is probably most of us at one point or another have tried to take in a shortcut and it didn't go like we planned. The name that never appears on that list of those who have taken shortcuts is Jesus. Because Jesus stubbornly refused to take any shortcuts. And he probably could have. He could have decided to do things differently. He could have crossed the will of the Father. He could have circumvented what God had planned for him. But he chose to go the long road. As we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke, we are coming to the section where Jesus is tempted. And if there was ever an opportunity for Jesus to take a shortcut, it's in the beginning of Luke chapter 4. Because what Satan is going to try to do is say, Jesus, let me offer you a couple other ideas. And in the midst of offering these other ideas, he could take a shortcut that might circumvent the cross. Wouldn't have worked, but he could have tried it. But yet Jesus chose not to. Let's read our text. Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, then tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It's written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant the kingdoms of the world and said to him, "I will give you all authority and splendor, and it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, for they will lift you up into their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus has got an answer we'll talk about in a second. It's interesting what the devil tries to do. There seems to be this little tug of war that's going on between the people of God and the people of the other side. And my guess is, even though you don't necessarily know this, Satan knows how this story is going to go. Satan knows that Jesus is Messiah. Satan knows this is the one from thousands of years before who would be told, "You will nip his heel, but he will crush your head." He knows who is in front of him, and he wants to get him to take the shortcut. Turn the rocks into bread. Be as great as Moses and bring bread out of nowhere. Stand up here and proclaim to the world that you are theirs and they'll follow you. I'll make sure of it. Or show how great you are by jumping from the highest point and going over the cliff and then watch the angels catch you and bring you back and see what the people will do. And all of these could have made Jesus incredibly popular. If he could have fed the masses, if he could have demonstrated his power and glory in some magical way, if he could have jumped off the roof and been caught midway, think of how Israel would have followed him. But in the midst of this tug of war, Jesus says, my path is self-denial. My path is not to stand up here and be glorified. And my path is not to stand up here and show the world how great I am. My path is one of self-denial that leads to a cross, that leads to a sacrifice, and that leads to our salvation. And so Satan says, let me give you a shortcut. And Jesus says, let me turn these things down. Here's what I learned from Jesus saying no to the shortcuts that maybe I need to learn as well. First thing is Jesus knew where the shortcuts led. Because some of you might remember from history, in October of 1849, there is a group of settlers that live in Salt Lake City, and they have decided that there's a gold rush going on in San Francisco, and they want to go. Now, a few years before that, there was a little group that kind of got called the Donner Party. You might have heard their story. And their story doesn't end well. They go up through the mountains and hopefully down into the valley to where San Francisco is. And they get stuck and we don't want to go where all their stories go. So the settlers from Salt Lake City say, well, let's not go that way, even though it's faster. Let's not wait till to try to trek those mountains and bad things happen. Let's go around them. So they go around them and they hit this little place called Death Valley. And it wasn't called Death Valley till they were done with it. They thought they knew a shortcut, and it led straight to death. These shortcuts that Satan offers Jesus are appealing. To stand up there and turn stones to bread, to look at the masses of people and have them all bow down and worship you, to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, those are all appealing. But they all derail the plan of God. And so Jesus chooses to go with God's plan. Okay, there are some in this room who have been offered shortcuts. They've been shortcuts to relationships, or they've been shortcuts to promotions, or they've been shortcuts to getting rich quick, or they've been shortcuts to a few other things. And you've got that shortcut in front of you, and what I want you to hear from Jesus is sometimes the shortcut isn't the best idea. So Jesus knows where shortcuts lead. The second thing is that Jesus had a strong sense of history. What I find ironic in this story is that Satan will quote him scripture, and Jesus will quote him scripture back. That Jesus knows the story of Israel. He knows those moments where they tried to circumvent God's path. He understands and remembers from watching it on high the desert experience where they walked around in circles for 40 years because they tried to shortcut what God had said. Jesus could have asked himself a very important question. What has happened to all of those before me who tried the same kind of shortcut? And because he knew the story of God, and because he knew the story of Israel, and because he knows the story of us, he could say the shortcut doesn't always work, and it doesn't always lead the best place. But then the last thing that I see in Jesus is that Jesus was prepared spiritually. Remember, Satan comes and he says, here's what I got. And Jesus says, here's what I've got. And it's pivotal and it's important that even though Satan approaches Jesus at his weakest point, he's really not at his weakest point. You might think if you've been in the desert fasting for 40 days, you would be at your weakest point. But the truth is that Jesus is at his strongest point because he's got something deep down in his heart. When Satan comes after me, not all the time, but a lot of the time, he comes at me at my weakest point. He comes at me when I'm frustrated, or he comes at me when I'm angry, or he comes at me when I'm discouraged, or he comes at me when I'm doubting, and he comes at me in those moments where for at least just a second I'm not as attuned and in line with God as I should be, and then he can dangle the proverbial carrot that leads down the shortcut, and before I know it, I'm in trouble. And I need to learn a lesson from Jesus. Then I need to learn in the midst of the world that I live in, if I know Satan is going to come after me no matter what, then I better be strong enough and ready to handle it when he does, knowing that I don't have to handle it alone, See, so often we think of handling temptation as something I do against the devil, and that could not be further from the truth. It's what I do with the power of God living in me, surrounded by the body of Jesus' followers, that then stands up and says, no, we've got a better way. It's interesting in that text that at the end of the story, Jesus defends that third temptation. And you remember what the Bible says? And the angels came and ministered to him. You know what that tells me? He wasn't alone the whole time. That even though he's in the wilderness, and even though he's in the wilderness alone, he's not. We've got to believe that. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be stuck in the midst of the shortcut, and we don't have to be stuck in the midst of Death Valley. But we've got this idea that comes, I think, from two other scriptures. Let me give you real quick. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then Paul would write, or the writer of Hebrews would write in Hebrews 2, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You see, the story of the temptations to me is the story of Jesus saying, I'm going to take the high road. And I'm going to take the road the Father has set. And even if the road the Father has set is not the happiest, most pleasing road, it's what God has called me to do. And I think we're called to do the same thing. That road may not be easy. And that road may not get us the promotion and the increase in salary that we want. And that road may not always make us happy. And I'll be honest, sometimes that road is going to be tough. But if Satan can get you off that track, then he's got you going toward Death Valley and you don't even know it. So let's listen to some settlers from Salt Lake City. Maybe more than that, let's listen to a Jesus who saves us. Say, stay on the road that God has planned and follow him with all we've got. We're going to sing a couple more songs because we've got some great singers with us. I'm going to be on this pew for the first one, and for the rest, I will be at the back. And if you need me, I want you to find me. And if you need Michael, he's right there. And our elders are scattered all around the room. And if you need us to help you realize shortcuts don't always work, then let us know. Maybe you need to be baptized, or maybe you need to say you want to be part of our church, or maybe you just need one of the good men or women in this church to pray a prayer over you. Then lean over to the one next door and ask him to do exactly that. And I promise you they will. If you need us, let us know as we stand and sing.